I'm so pleased to welcome to the WLRH studios the new-ish concert master for the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra. Welcome, Julia Dina.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
We had a nice chat before we came on the air, and you have actually moved to Huntsville. I know a lot of musicians come from all over to play with the symphony, but you have relocated.
Yes, yeah, so Huntsville's my home now, and I'm really happy to be playing with the community here. That there's a really, really rich musical community here, and I'm really happy to be part of it.
And you're not from here originally?
No, I'm from Chicago originally.
So how did you make the journey from Chicago to the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra?
The way most people do. My husband's an engineer.
Okay. But you are also a very skilled violinist.
Yes, I am. We knew that we were moving down here a little while back. And when we knew, I decided to look to see if there was a symphony, and there was, and there was a vacancy, and I went for it, and it's just been a crazy ride since, where the trials happened, and then I was offered the position, and it's just been a lot of fun playing as the Huntsville Symphony's concertmaster.
And concertmaster is quite an honor. That's not just any ordinary violinist. What does a concertmaster do?
The concertmaster, I guess the biggest thing is you get all the solos.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the most obvious thing. And then the other visually most obvious thing is that I walk out, instead of just sitting on the stage, I walk out, I bow, and I tune the orchestra. And I don't actually tune anyone.
you don't go around and mess with the pegs on their violin.
No. I just send a signal to the oboist, say it's okay to. So it's kind of like I'm the point person for all of that.
Now, it sounds like a sort of a superhero position. What are your superpowers?
I play very well.
Okay.
At least that's what I'm supposed to do.
Uh-huh. Tell me about your start in musical history.
My starting musical history. I started when I was 2 years old.
Really? Wow.
When I was 2.5. The reason for that was I have a brother who's 11 years older, and I thought that musical instruments were a toy that he could have and I couldn't. Mm. And so they got me a little, like, a shoe-sized violin.
They're so cute.
They are really cute. And my parents thought that I'd just kind of get over it. It was a little fad. I wanted to play with it. But I wouldn't stop playing on it, and they couldn't take it anymore. So they decided to get me lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it was just, I just kept on going. And they were actually trying to discourage me from it. Like, okay, well, you know, if it's getting too hard, why don't you just quit? Why don't you just quit? And I was like, no, I don't want to quit. I don't want to quit. So I'd go and practice even harder until I'd, you know, done whatever it was that I couldn't do. And so that just, I don't know why. Yeah. I just really wanted to do it.
What drove you? What was your motivator? To show up your brother?
I think that must have been it. I don't know if that was it or if it was just I love challenges and I loved the way the violin sounded, and I'm one of those virtuoso, like, I love virtuoso playing. So pretty things, I wasn't motivated by playing pretty things on the violin. It was more like I would hear Vingerov play stuff on classical music, because my dad always had, you know, some sort of classical music radio station on. And I would hear all these virtuoso violin pieces. I want to play that. That's what I want to play.
Zigeunerweisen or something.
Tigon,
yes.
Yeah, the Bazzini, the Round of the Goblins, that kind of stuff. So I would hear that and I'd be like, that's what I want to play. And so I'd be playing my little dinky winky twinkle little star. And I'm like, I'm not good enough. I'm going to keep practicing so I can play that.
Uh-huh.
So that was my motive. That's what motivated me, really, because I thought it was the coolest thing.
Well, it is. So you obviously went on to higher education.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go?
I went to DePaul University for 2 years, after which I transferred into a program that is a special program. Yale University has only a graduate program for music, and a lot of people don't know about it. So if you don't, go look it up. It is a 3-year program where it's first certificate of performance. You don't need a bachelor's to do it.
Oh, really?
But you get a full-on graduate program. You study with other graduates, with other people doing their DMAs, with higher level. And it's a really good program because you don't have any undergraduate. You don't have any just recently high school graduates. Mm-hmm. So you're with a lot of really high-level players. And eventually the plan is maybe that I get my bachelor's and I send it in as a transcript and I get my master's back, because I've done all my master's requirements.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how that works. But Yale was awesome because it offered me a lot of opportunities to work with John Adams.
Wow. Yes, who you're playing him this weekend.
Yes, I am. We did almost exactly the same rep. We did Beethoven 8, obviously, because there's bits of that in mm-hmm. the Absolute Jest. And we did Absolute Jest with him, and that was great. So it's really fun to be able to play it again after having played it with him.
So were you nervous playing for the composer?
No, he's so nice.
Really?
He is so nice. Uh-huh. He's a wonderful composer to work with. He was nothing but just like really helpful with all the rhythms that he wrote in, because there's a lot of rhythm changes, and he tried explaining it as best as he could, and he, like, if something wasn't coming off correctly, he wouldn't get offended by how we were playing it.
Okay.
He just was trying to let us into his head of what he was thinking of when he created it.
And it's not an easy piece.
No, no, mm-hmm. It's not. It's very, very fast. There's a lot of weird things. Also, technically, at least for violin, it's really all over the fingerboard, a lot of jumps. And I want to say it doesn't sound like it's hard. It just sounds fun.
Yeah, it does. It does.
It just sounds fun.
To it.
But it is difficult.
And it's going to look different, too, on stage, because you have a string quartet up front with the orchestra behind.
Yes. Yeah, so there is a solo string quartet, and there's moments where it's just orchestra, moments where there's just string quartet, but then there's a lot of places where they work together, and mm-hmm. it's almost like they're fighting each other
yeah,
in some places. So that's good. I don't know. It's a lot of fun.
It'll
really
be fun
like
to listen to and to watch. Giulia Dina is the new concertmaster of the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra. What were you thinking when you found out that you had won this coveted position?
I was tired. We had just played Don Juan.
Oh, my.
We just played that and then the Don Quixote. Mm-hmm. And it was after that concert that I had found out. And I was like, great, let me just go to sleep. And so after that concert, the next day, I was like, I really did it. So mm-hmm. that's being a concertmaster is also something that I've wanted to do since I had been playing, because I grew up in Chicago. I grew up with the CSO right in my backyard. Mm-hmm. I didn't live in the suburbs. I lived right downtown. So I really was part of an orchestra for most of my life. And so getting to the point of being concertmaster was always something that I wanted to do. And I want to say that being a concertmaster was something that I wanted to do more than performing as a soloist or anything.
Yeah.
That was always like my dream job. And so I was like, I did it. I got my dream job. Like, you know, and in a city where there's so many opportunities in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really happy here.